We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid Verbal.
Welcome to WSV News Radio, the Solid Verbal's Friday news broadcast. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. My co-host is Dan Rubenstein. You give us a download. We'll give you the world. As always, Dan, brought to you today by our Patreon out at verballers.com. We've got a special game coming your way starting this Monday, August the 30th. It is only available to Patreon subscribers. So go on out to verballers.com. Check out our benefit tiers. Join up before it's too late.
Season long game, deadline 11:59 a.m. before week one kicks off Eastern time, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, nailed it.
Also, don't forget to follow along on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, youtube.com/the Solid Verbal. You can also go on out to solidverbal.com for more awesome college football written content from our three contributors on the website. You can also sign up for the newsletter there, which we send out every Friday.
Correct.
Three things to know this Friday. An alliance. Three of college football's titans have aligned to dominate in 2021 and beyond. Also, teams around the country naming their starting quarterbacks, and a COVID counterpunch, schools taking a more aggressive stand against the virus. But we start with the alliance, Dan. The Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12 have officially announced an alliance to, quote, stabilize the current college football environment. What do we know about the alliance and what does it mean?
I don't know what we know. I don't think the commissioner is involved. So of the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12, George, Jim, and Kevin, I don't know if they fully know. But it's basically not a response to the SEC, but it's really a response to the SEC in very clear ways, adding Texas and Oklahoma in the near term. And it's just a matter of the three of them and those three conferences agreeing to not create super conferences next to the SEC and to get on the same page when it comes to perhaps voting on things like an expanded playoff and future playoff deals and postseason and scheduling and everything that's going to come with college football in the near or long term. But they didn't sign anything.
No.
They looked in each other's eyes. And there was some quote about if you need to put it down on paper, then maybe you don't believe in what you're doing or something, which I disagree with, Ty. Right. I'm pretty sure your mortgage is down on paper, right?
That is correct.
It wasn't a handshake deal.
No.
No, I didn't think so. So basically what it was announced as is a preservation element, but without saying directly it's because the SEC is adding two college football Titan programs, not necessarily winning programs, but Titan programs in Texas and Oklahoma, and that the ACC commissioner, Pac-12 commissioner, Big Ten commissioner don't necessarily believe that the SEC is acting in the best interest of the sport as a whole. But it was also dressed up as academics are more important to us than they are in the SEC. This is their implication to me, not my implication. And that scheduling is going to be very specific to how we're going to operate, but we're honoring the existing schedules. So it's not like we're having all sorts of crazy crossover Septembers. So it was very vague. Nothing is official. Nothing was especially specific, but it was meant to sort of exhibit a show of solidarity away from the SEC or something. I don't know. It was very unclear. When things aren't specific and they're not on paper, it's hard to take them fully seriously.
I think it was a brushback pitch at the SEC.
Sure.
I think that was the sole intention of it. Kevin Warren is quoted here as saying, "I wouldn't say this is a reaction to Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, but..." And you know my stance, everything before
after
the butt is BS.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to be totally candid, you have to evaluate what's going on in the landscape of college athletics. This is a year for seismic shifts. I think it's really important to make sure that you're aware of all these things that are going on, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
What he's saying is it's not in response to Texas and Oklahoma, but it sort of is. And I don't blame them. Look, if they could put their heads together, an idea was proposed to me yesterday by a good friend of mine. Why don't they get together and form a scheduling alliance, put a little bit more meat behind it, and own week zero? Now, if you own week zero too much, then it turns into week one. So that's a separate conversation altogether.
Correct.
But if you just decide we are going to own the first week, whatever that is, of the college football season, put on a bunch of great matchups, interconference matchups, that can really make our conferences stand out and bring prominence to us and not to the SEC, that would, I think, be a win-win for college football. That'd be okay from the fan standpoint. I'd prefer most of those games be on campus, but beggars can't be choosers.
Do you think that's a long-term solution, though?
I don't know if it's a solution to anything, but it could be a nice perk for the fans.
I guess. Yeah, I think that's more treating a symptom of not being ahead with regard to attention, and so you get more attention. Ultimately, Texas and Oklahoma left because they left the Big 12 because they didn't believe in Big 12 leadership's ability to create a conference that receives as much attention and wins as much as conferences like the SEC and Big 10. And so now we have these commissioners trying to reassure schools, the bigger schools, the schools that fund the conferences more than other schools. So what, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin in the Big Ten, and then obviously Clemson, Florida State, Miami in the, and North Carolina. And obviously there's basketball elements to the ACC as well that don't necessarily exist in terms of branding, like Duke. And in the Pac-12, like USC, Washington, Oregon, schools like that, it's to sort of reassure them that they're doing everything they can so they don't leave because they're sick of playing in conferences not fully carrying their own weight top to bottom. And so I think there's an element of that. We heard the Pac-12 commissioner, George Clavicle, I'm just going with that, early on talk about, well, wait, why are we going to 12 teams if the group that decided it didn't involve the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC, and we didn't have the full information that Oklahoma and Texas were joining the SEC at that time. So there's an element to these commissioners and these conferences collectively slowing down expansion,
right,
and perhaps coming up with something that is less advantageous to the SEC. There are all sorts of elements at play here, but yeah, big picture, when they talk about preserving things, it's they don't want, there's a reason the Big 12 wasn't at this press
conference. Well, and that was going to be my next point.
Wasn't there.
The Big 12 was not there. And I think concurrent with this announcement is another big announcement of sorts coming from the Pac-12, where I think they're going to publicly decide or not decide on expansion.
Right.
And that could have some far-reaching ramifications. Would they look to pick off some teams from what's left of the Big 12, the eight teams that are left? Could that signify a move by the Big Ten to pull over teams like Kansas or Iowa State. There is going to be a knock-on effect from this. What's interesting, though, because nothing's down on paper, I don't think they'll try to poach schools from one another. That would seem to be a bad first act of this alliance.
Right.
But there's nothing specific saying that they can't.
Yeah, isn't that why there's nothing signed? But like, we reserve the right to react to the future.
Yeah. I think the only reason you come out and make this announcement is you feel like the SEC is being the aggressor and you want some sort of show of force to signify that they're not going to be able to push you around. But ultimately, there are very few big brands out there, if you're the Pac-12, Big Ten, or ACC, that you could pull in from what's left of the Big 12 to really go mano a mano for this move where Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC. We'll see what it yields. I remain optimistic. I think it's a great storyline, although it's really hard to say at this point with nothing formal what it's actually going to mean moving forward.
Right. Yeah. I maintain that micro conferences, a big zag from Dan's brain, are the wave of the future. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, that sort of falls under the pod discussion as well, right? That you are limiting your scope, not limiting your scope, but looking at natural rivalries you may have in schools that are sort of on the same page in terms of how much they've invested, both in terms of actual money and sweat money, whatever, sweat equity, that there is an advantage in scheduling and going as a block. But I understand that, like, if you're going to have some sort of alliance and it's going to be a meaningful alliance, if not short of a super conference, your ability to bundle and sell TV in a way that you previously hadn't, because you're going to get new huge matchups. Right. I understand that element. So I'm sort of cautiously pessimistic, I think, at this point, that it's not a long-term solution, because the way college football has gone, there are certain powers and there are teams who can win 8+ games every year no matter what, and there are other teams where 8+ wins for 3, 4, 5 years is a special situation. And I just think we're getting to the point where there's so much money on the table that certain entities are sick of sharing.
Elsewhere in college football, Dan.
Yeah.
Some prominent schools have named their starting quarterbacks for week 1 or week 0, whatever it amounts to. Ohio State officially going with CJ Stroud, their super duper prospect. Michigan, their longtime rival, going with Cade McNamara over Texas Tech transfer Alan Bowman, British comedy legend Alan Bowman.
Yeah.
Texas A&M made it official. They're going with redshirt freshman Haynes King. Baylor going with Jerry Bohannon. Texas Tech going with Oregon transfer Tyler Shuck. BYU, Jaren Hall, who hasn't played college football since 2019.
Okay.
Northwestern sticking with Hunter Johnson, the Clemson transfer, who's had a bit of a bumpy
going
ride.
Going back to Hunter Johnson. Yeah, the Peyton Ramsey interruption. Great band. Great jam band. Continue.
Illinois continuing on with Brandon Peters in the new Brett Bielema regime. And Dino Babers at Syracuse says he needs more time, going with a 2-quarterback system to start. Tommy DeVito and Mississippi State transfer Garrett Schrader. Dan, any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a few. The Ohio State quarterback room is fascinating, both this year and beyond, with Quinn Ewers enrolling early, reclassifying. And so he is the sort of generational talent. That's what he's looked at with his blonde dyed mullet. It's beautiful. He's the generational talent who has come in. And so you have Kyle McCord, I believe, is a true freshman. CJ Stroud, a second year player. And then Jack Miller, who was beat out for this. So what will be interesting is where the dominoes fall in terms of transfers, in terms of what this quarterback room looks like in 3 weeks, what it looks like in a year, and what it looks like long term, just because there's a lot of juggling with a lot of big arms involved. And I'm sure Ohio State has guys lined up beyond as well. So that's fascinating to me. Cade McNamara, I think, was sort of an understood thing. There's the 5-star, freshman that's come in, JJ McCarthy, I believe his name is. And so I don't ever blame a school for not starting a true freshman quarterback. And if they feel Cade's the guy. Haynes King has long had good attention on his name for a while. We've seen a little bit of Jerry Bohannon in relief, and That offense needs to take it. You mentioned this in your previews. You can go back and listen to the Big 12 previews. You mentioned this with Baylor, that there are just a number of issues to address on that offense still, even with the new coordinator. The Hunter Johnson thing, hopeful, but Hunter Johnson was the trigger man of an all-time terrible modern at the same time Power Five offense. So that was a rough 2019, I believe, until at least the end of the season. Syracuse, I don't have much comment on. Illinois, I don't have much comment on. And hopeful, I think BYU promoted from within, right? Like the passing game coordinator is now the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
At I think it's Aaron Roderick is the name of the coordinator at BYU. So hopefully continuity is working in the Cougars' favor there. And Tyler Shuck, the best version of Tyler Shuck, is a good to really good Power Five quarterback, but that version waxes and wanes, especially in second halves. So I wish him the best in his new home, but it was clear that he probably wasn't the long-term answer in terms of what Oregon hoped its ceiling would be. So yeah, hopeful that all these guys succeed, but interesting context nonetheless. And Ty, I've also been hearing some whispers. Welcome to the ASMR portion of WVBL. It appears Hudson Card at Texas.
He's been getting most of the first team reps, right?
He's been getting most of the first team reps. And by all accounts, his ceiling as a player and as a prospect is higher than Casey Thompson, who actually flashed really impressively at the end of last year in that bowl game against Colorado. But Hudson Card, if he's able to put it together as a young player, it could be quite fascinating in Sark's offense, and we'll see if some of the young receivers or healthier receivers at Texas add an element to Texas's offense away from Bijan Robinson, who I'm positive is going to get a ton of attention from defenses and from the Texas offense. That'll be fascinating. I'm seeing Joe Milton as the Ooh. Likely starter for Tennessee.
See, I have been talking up Hendon Hooker since I knew there was going to be a bit of a quarterback battle among transfers.
Yeah.
I like Hendon Hooker a lot. My beef with Joe Milton is that he missed a lot of throws for Michigan last year. He's got a big arm and a ton of talent, but he missed a lot of throws. I think inevitably, whether it's Milton or Hooker, both will be better than what they had last year. And that's okay. That's promising if you're a Tennessee fan. You're
sure.
Again starting over, hitting the reboot button, bringing over a guy with hopefully an electric offense. I think you're willing to give him some slack. I'm just curious how long that slack lasts and what Joe Milton looks like in what I think is going to be a tougher conference than what he saw last year in the Big Ten.
Sure, for sure. It's going to be a tougher road ahead. Yeah, I also saw that Brian Moore transferred away from Knoxville. So that room's a little bit thinner. The Hendon Hooker thing is interesting to me because I don't think we just have all of the relevant information and context around Hendon Hooker's career.
No.
Right? That there was a relationship struggle perhaps with Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, and there was elements of wanting to be pulled from games. And then last year to start the season, and maybe this wasn't on him, but he wasn't deemed ready to play to start out the year. And we saw a lot of Braxton Burmeister and the decision to leave. You know, it seemed like he was the clear best guy in Blacksburg, but maybe it just, you know, heads were butting and he needed a fresh start. And so I don't know. I don't know if it's a personality thing. I don't know if it's a health thing. For whatever reason, you know, Hendon Hooker has just had a better career than Joe Milton. But for whatever reason, he's not showing himself to be the guy in Knoxville, it seems. Now, the reason why Joe Milton may make sense, and there could be some cautious optimism, the Josh Heupel offense is sort of, let's bomb deep.
Let's bomb it. Yeah, and he's got a big arm, right?
Go deep. Right. He's got a big arm, and so maybe he is best fit for that behind an offensive line that should probably be a little uneven, maybe buy himself some time before bombing it deep, whatever. Maybe that's what they see. It's just like Joe Milton gives us the best chance to make plays, even with some of the downsides of his game. He gives us the best chance to make plays. So that makes sense on a certain level.
It will be interesting to see how the Tennessee offense looks in the early going. They've got an opening week game against Bowling Green, whatever. But week two, they host Pitt. And I think we've talked about that game a number of times now through the course of our own previews. That'll be an early bellwether, really, for both teams. You seem to
Definitely.
Be pretty high on the Pitt Panthers. Bring a lot back. They've got a veteran quarterback. How they
Somebody corrected us and told us there's the Johnny Majors connection.
The Johnny Tennessee Majors connection,
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole bunch of different strange connections between the two programs. But Pitt coming down to Neyland Stadium will be an interesting test for both schools. And at the end of September, we'll see what kind of shape Tennessee is in because they go on the road to the Swamp and square off against Florida in a big game. The problem for Tennessee remains the schedule. It's a brutal schedule. They've got Georgia, they've got Bama, they've got Florida. They've got Ole Miss a week before Alabama. So it's not going to be smooth sailing, especially for a program that is again hitting the reboot button.
Reboot
with a new coach. Any other whispers?
The Michigan State job seems still pretty open. You have Temple transfer Anthony Russo coming in and competing for that job against Peyton Thorne, who was one of the guys last year, didn't have a ton of time, wasn't the most accurate dude in the world, but that competition for what we assume to be at least a marginally improved Michigan State offense, you know, another one of those situations with a year zero coach with Mel Tucker coming in, especially with how late he came into the fold in East Lansing. These guys are not quarterbacks of the future for the Spartans.
No,
but it's basically a competition to see who can mess up fewer times, less often, and who can sort of keep drives going, make those third and seven throws to something somewhat downfield as Mel Tucker and the offensive coaching staff look to rebuild things there. So that job still seems wide open. And the Oregon job, in terms of the big, you know, top 15 type schools, those big jobs that are still open, you know, Texas is one of those, not necessarily top 15, but high profile jobs at quarterback. Oregon is essentially, from everything I can tell and everything I've heard,
whispers.
I promise to keep doing that way too often. Anthony Brown, the Boston College transfer and backup last year, seemed to have a hold on that job given his experience. And it's Ty Thompson, the five-star freshman coming in, who is challenging for that job. And I would imagine that the tie is always going to go to the younger player because of the future. And maybe it's a future fantasy thing that, like, look, this year is whatever it is, but they're really building towards next year at the start of a season. It's like 2022 is the year that Oregon has circled. But I think if Ty Thompson shows a little bit more consistency than he reportedly has in scrimmages and practices, but he's been very good at the same time, then he could have that job sooner rather than later. So there's still not an announcement on QB1. It seems to be between the two of those guys. Anthony Brown, I think, will make fewer mistakes right now, but also reportedly gives them less in the way of being a dynamic quarterback downfield. He's going to check down. He's going to not throw picks, but I don't think he has the touch. I don't think he has the sort of rhythm that Ty Thompson will sooner rather than later.
Ty Thompson, if I remember correctly, is their highest ever rated quarterback recruit.
I believe that's true. Yes.
So it's clear that he is going to be the future for that Oregon offense. I've never been sold on Anthony Brown. I've read good things about Anthony Brown and how he might fit the Joe Moorhead offense a little bit better to start. But I think it's truly only a matter of time, especially if here we are now, Ty Thompson, you know, new on campus. Anthony Brown has a couple years of college football experience under his belt. If we're
it's number six, my friend.
Yeah. If we're already talking about this being a quarterback controversy and it's just year one for him, I don't think that speaks volumes about Anthony Brown, but we'll see. We'll see if they decide what they decide to do in week two on the road in the Horseshoe against Ohio State will be fascinating because, again, Anthony Brown, a lot more experience, but in a game like that, do you find strategic ways to deploy Ty Thompson in hopes that he gives you a little bit more upside in a game where you're going to need it?
It is a little bit reminiscent of USC Bama from a few years ago, where Max Brown started out the season as a starting quarterback, like waited his turn because they knew Sam Darnold had the upside and had the ceiling, but they didn't want to throw him to the wolves against Bama week one. And eventually he became the guy 2 or 3 weeks. So it has that element to it. But you're right that Anthony Brown's been a college football quarterback for this long, and it just hasn't been obvious to the coaches thus far. They're like, oh, he's clearly a step ahead and has a mastery of this offense and position that the freshman doesn't. So that's your favorite pet charity cause for pause.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ty, I believe we have a traffic report.
That's right, Dan. I'm up here in the chopper. Beautiful, clear skies. Can see for miles. Smooth sailing out there this weekend. Only 5 games on the slate, ranging from 1 p.m. Eastern time all the way through to 10 p.m. Eastern time at night. Shouldn't have much to contend with in the way of picking a game to watch. Games are spaced out pretty nicely. But gear up, folks. Get your Saturdays packed this weekend, because next weekend, Labor Day weekend, gonna be one of the busiest of the year.
Rounding out our three things to know, LSU making waves, requiring a vaccine or a negative COVID test for all of the fans planning to enter Tiger Stadium. They're not the only school around college football going in this direction. We've heard about schools elsewhere who are doing the very same thing, but it is notable in the SEC, Dan, the SEC, they are sort of bucking the trend.
Yeah, LSU, and if you've watched videos of Catherine O'Neal, she is very plain in her language about the situation in Louisiana, the health situation, and obviously associated with LSU. So this is, you know, the Oregon schools, I believe, are doing this, where it's you have to show proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID test. You know, California has instituted its own situations with large gatherings above 10,000 people. So that might not be applicable to UCLA. I kid. Ty, I kid. But like, there is definitely going to be, and there has been announced a mask mandate in terms of large gatherings of a ton of people. So I expect more of these news items to trickle out. Ohio State has talked about faculty, staff, and students all requiring vaccination. We've heard, you know, Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, talk about it. And the story as it relates to Nick Rolovich, who said he would follow the mandate for all state employees, but wasn't clear moving forward. And so it's going to be something that is going to be a story all season long in terms of what stadiums are doing, what coaches and players and schools. And we've seen the forfeiture stories where if a team can't meet the minimum requirements to play in terms of roster availability, it will not be rescheduled. That team, and the SEC has even talked about financial penalties if a school can't play. If a team can't play, that team forfeits. It's just that. That's the outcome of the cancellation. So that's where we are. I expect more stories, as I'm sure you do as well, to come out regarding stadium protocols, team protocols, school protocols. And yeah, LSU and the Oregon schools and Ohio State were among the first to make those announcements.
It will continue to be a story. As we saw in 2020, these things tend to change quickly at a moment's notice. College football almost didn't happen last year, and then suddenly it was back on. Mm-hmm. So if history, recent history, is any guide and any indication as to what's to come, this could be a policy that is either enacted or totally revoked at some point. We'll just have to wait and see how things shake out here as we head into the fall season and what numbers look like around the country.
Correct.
Speaking of what things look like, Dan, you've been taking a look at infractions, at penalties. Let's do the Dan scan.
It's been a few days now, but Scott Frost and the Nebraska program under a bit of a microscope for not adhering to COVID protocols, reportedly organizing strength sessions away from campus last year when they were not supposed to be doing things as collective team units with regard to training for certain amounts of time, and then also for the use of analysts in on-field coaching roles, which is not allowed. Analysts are sort of behind the scenes cutting tape and strategizing stuff, not on-field coaches, which goes against the NCAA and their upper limits for the number of permissible coaches, including the head coaches in on-field roles. So, look, it's not. That type of thing is very minor to me.
See, that was my takeaway, too. My takeaway in reading about it was more, okay, who's got a vendetta against Scott Frost? And less, right. Oh, my God, I can't believe he did this. Now, he should know better. He's in charge of the program. Assistants on this level, analysts are not allowed to have direct contact with players. They have to go through the actual coaches. So he basically had a guy running special teams who was an analyst. And there's apparently video footage of it, for whatever that's worth. And then obviously conducting practices outside of whatever the protocol was last year when the pandemic was still raging. You know, these are things that need to be dealt with. Everybody has to abide by the same rules. Scott Frost shouldn't be above that. But in the grand scheme, to me, these seem relatively minor and not the kind of thing that should submarine a program. Perhaps it's a distraction now as we head into a pivotal year for Scott Frost, one that he needs to really succeed and do better.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you could definitely do worse.
Yeah. Well, the COVID stuff, I think, is more serious. I don't think that's specifically minor just because the outcome wasn't disastrous. Obviously, skirting the rules around public health is not an amazing precedent to set as a head coach. So I can understand the frustration. I imagine the calls came from inside the house.
Would
be my guess with this situation. So the other big Dan Scan, God, I hate my branding of everything. The other big blotter item is Arizona State remains under investigation. There are now, I believe, two or three assistants on indefinite leave suspension from the team, and something to follow moving forward. Hard to imagine if everything that is alleged is true and that Herm Edwards had knowledge of it. That feels like a lack of institutional control. And I could not imagine if that sort of thing is tied to him, he will be long for Tempe. But we shall see. Arizona State, especially in your brain, highly regarded this fall. So a lot of pressure now, both on and off the field for the Sun Devils. And we're always scanning here at DanScan HQ.
Always watching.
Always watching.
Always judging. In business! This segment sponsored by Big Boy Bets, going out to bigboybets.show for all the latest action as you make your picks and bets in time for week zero. 78% of the money coming in on Illinois, +6.5, +7 at home, opening up the college football slate in week zero against Nebraska. Nebraska, of course, trying to avenge an 18-point loss from a year ago. But the Illini getting most of the action as Brett Bielema steps foot in Champaign. We've also got 63% of the money coming in on the UCLA Bruins. That line has inflated up to -18. They are hosting the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors at home in the Rose Bowl. 18's a big number, but 63% of the money still coming in on the Bruins. And finally, a whopping 84% of the money coming in on the UTEP Miners, Dan. They are favored by 9.5. 9.5 on the road against New Mexico State.
All right, Ty, I don't know how many games this weekend I'll be watching besides maybe those top two matchups, but I know that we have sunny days ahead that you're going to tell me about with our, I don't know, I'm making this up, the Elite 4K Super Doppler. I don't know.
The Dennis Doddpler, whatever you want to call
Dennis
it.
Dennis Doddpler.
Relatively calm weather weekend across the country. The country, of course, still recoiling, Dan, from two tropical events in the span of a week. Mostly sunny skies across most of the lower 48. The heat will remain, though. folks in the upper plains, such as yourself, and in the Northeast, like over here, begging for some relief from the humidity.
Yeah.
Just not going to get it this weekend. Highs in the low 90s out in your neck of the woods in Champaign, but the mugginess going to make it feel well over 100. Not as sticky, but just as hot in New Mexico and Northern California for the other college football action. As always, the Rose Bowl steals the show, Dan. Low 90s, no humidity, just college football heaven.
Smooth sailing. You're right. And my only recommendation for you, I have two of these schools in California, is at San Jose State. If you're attending the San Jose State, Southern Utah, that's who they're playing. Mexico Bakery for a giant torta over there on Telegraph Road. And then if you are going to the Hawaii UCLA matchup, I would head over to Glendale, right next to Pasadena, for Mini Kebab. Mini Kebab. It's mini because it's a very small shack-like setting. It is truly, truly incredible Middle Eastern Armenian food. Wonderful place.
All right, and that does it for WSV News Radio for this Friday. Don't forget to follow The Solid Verbal wherever you get your podcasts. Go on out to solidverbal.com if you'd like to find more of what we've done in previewing for the college football season. And don't forget to go on out to our Patreon at verballers.com, where you can find all sorts of bonus content, a great Discord community where we talk college football and all things, all other things, really.
Everything else. All things, everything else that exists. Beer, golf, TV shows, other sports, video games. I think there was a conversation about asthma medication recently.
There was, yeah. That was a little weird.
I loved it.
Verballers.com is where you can find all of that bonus content. Again, we've got a big thing we're going to announce on Monday. Only yes. Available to Patreon subscribers. We hope you will play along with us this season. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That's all I have. Thank you very much for this broadcast, Ty. The sounds were incredible, and I thought this one was a banger. Well done.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, enjoy the first week of college football. Until next time, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.